Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of November, recording at 6:36 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, I'm going to commence with a quick review of the week. Stock markets, mostly additional gains, but showing evidence late in the week that a somewhat bigger corrective consolidation phase than we saw during those elegant, very orderly upward trends over the last couple of months. Something a little more lengthy is starting to occur. I've been talking about that, of course, in previous audios. Now, government bonds, very steady this week. And elsewhere, not again, those government bonds, not running away on the upside, but just firm, holding their gains. The U.S. dollar, weak, seriously weak in here, particularly yesterday and today. industrial metals, very firm, including copper, which still has, you could say, alarming looking topping characteristics, but it had not broken down. That's the key point, and may test the upside. And precious metals, quite firm in here. Breakouts today here by silver and gold. And the oil price just trading now at $59.90. So that's up 66 cents. This has been edging higher on the week. And what else to mention? Grains and the grain and bean complex, this has been consolidating. We've got some good action in here today, suggesting that we may have seen the reaction lows. Now, again, the dollar has been an influence here to a certain extent. Okay, let's step back and see, discuss where we are actually in terms of all these markets. Now, in a number of audios, I have been saying that these gains were a bit too persistent, a little bit too strong, not really accelerating seriously, but too persistent that they were becoming overstretched, too persistent to be maintained beyond the medium term, and they've been going on for at least a couple of months in a number of instances, and also that I've been emphasizing that we would see this spillover into a somewhat more lengthy and deeper consolidation, but that would be nothing like the predictable medium-term correction which we saw in the form of a rout during the second half of May and the first half of June. So today I've written about this also, and I've done a general feature here covering all the market categories because there are some important technical signals that are changing that you do want to be aware of. But I focused mainly on the European stock market indices because they led the way up after the correction on the downside. They were the first to hit new highs, and quite a few of them hit new highs a little bit before the U.S. indices started to hit new highs for the year, I'm talking about, and before the Asian indices started to hit new highs for the year in numbers. And of course, not all of them did, notably Japan lagging. But let me concentrate on this theme here. Partly in response, I think everything's related, isn't it? Partly in response to the strength of the currencies, or I should really say the weakness of the US dollar, we have seen a number of these European indices lose upward momentum. And I've illustrated this with Spain and the Swiss market index, which had led the way on the upside. Now, the deterioration and nor loss of consistency, I should really say, is, and describe it as for the Swiss SMI is clearer than for the Spanish market, but you've had a small downward dynamic today in that Spanish market. But just to say, the trends look overstretched, due for this pullback and consolidation. Now, I don't think that this will necessarily occur across all markets simultaneously, as it could, but it depends a little bit on how sharp the reaction actually is, particularly from Wall Street. Never overlook the Wall Street leash effect. In other words, if Wall Street's steady, let alone rising, then other markets can run riot on the upside, and many do. Conversely, if Wall Street is seen to be losing momentum and weakening in its trend in a way that we haven't seen for a while, then that causes that leash to be reined in, and some of the high beta markets will fall a bit more sharply. But now, how serious is this? Well, I don't think it's all that serious. I don't think that long-term investors, for instance, need be overly concerned about this. I'm certainly not, from the standpoint of my investment portfolio. I wouldn't consider changing anything there. But I might need to think about some of the leveraged positions a little bit, although I haven't worried about that much so far. And actually, yesterday I had even increased my Aberdeen New Dawn position somewhat. So I'm only looking for, as I say, a little bit more of a pullback and a little bit more ranging consolidation. Here, more lengthy ranging consolidation than we have seen for a few months. Okay, now the outlook for global stock markets still remains generally favorable. There's a lot of liquidity about. This is a strong period seasonally. Then there's the factor of the third year of the US presidential election cycle, which is the most bullish on average. Now, something like that is worth knowing and is a factor in my thinking, but really, Owen and I will be guided, of course, by the chart action above all else. But we like to detail these scripts and then monitor the charts and update the scripts as and when things begin to change, such as this loss of momentum that I just described for Spain and for the Swiss SMI. So again, a favorable period seasonally overall, and in terms of the U.S. election cycle. But there are pressure points that I've talked about, or I've described them as storm clouds out on the distant horizon, that we really do need to watch. And I'll just repeat those again very, very quickly. The long-dated government bond yields will remain very important. Now, currently, they are no problem whatsoever. They are not a headwind for global equities. As a matter of fact, if anything, they're a small tailwind in here right now, because bond prices remain generally firm. But have a look at those charts that I posted today in the bond section. I don't think there's that much room for a great deal of additional appreciation in bond prices, or I don't think that the yields will come down too much longer. But that depends on perceptions regarding the global economy. Currently, everybody's still looking at the global economy and saying that the U.S. is leading a slowdown, and they don't feel that it's really bottomed yet. And there are some people out there who are talking about a recession in the US. It's not my view. And there are some people who have been talking about a hard landing in China for a number of years. That's not my view either. Just a modest slowdown, and I think that it may already be over, although we wouldn't see the evidence of that until well into the first quarter of the new year due to the lagging nature of statistics. Now, meanwhile, lots of publicity for the U.S. housing market, which is a known soft spot. So there's that factor. The other one to consider, which I think will cause problems before long-dated government bonds will cause problems, but the two are not unrelated, and that's, of course, the crude oil price. I maintain that this is in a bottoming support building area. It's just a question of how much time it actually takes for this support building process. In other words, will it be a few weeks? Well, it's already been, we're already into at least the second month of this ranging activity. So will it be a few months, or will it be a good many months? I would, my guess, the important thing to say is I don't know. My guess is that it won't be, you know, it won't be continuing beyond the first quarter of this year. But that's not the important point. The important point is to monitor the chart action rather than to guess as to how quickly the oil price will recover. But when it does recover, following, particularly if this is following a lengthy support building phase, it will probably recover faster than most people are prepared for, psychologically at any rate, and that will, I think, affect the bond market adversely, and it will begin to weigh on stock markets. Now, how do we know that's the case? Well, because it's usually happened before, and it's a logical sequence of events. And just look at those charts and look exactly, look at what they were showing when markets waltzed into that medium-term correction, resulting in a rout in the second half of May and the first half of June. The oil price was moving upwards. Government bond yields had been moving upwards and didn't really rally significantly until we'd had the crack in stock markets. And then oil peaked a little later in July. Okay, so those are the things that we need to watch above all else. And certainly when the oil price is pushing up strongly, again, I'm talking about moving up over $70 with vigor, then the central banks will begin to worry again. People will begin to worry about inflationary pressures, begin to worry about growth. There'll be lots of worries. But that hasn't happened yet, but it's out there. You know, it's certainly going to happen. I would say at some point in 2007, and that will probably lead to another medium-term correction for global stock markets. But I don't think it'll derail the overall overall cycle. Okay, in terms of government bonds, again, I pretty well covered that. Keep an eye on the chart action, and keep an eye on the oil price in relation to that chart action. As for the U.S. dollar is concerned, now, I think I mentioned yesterday that there is always possibility sentiment changes, that it picks up speed from what had been just a quietly ranging lower process overall. Now, the moves today were pretty strong. Just as I speak, we've got the euro at 130.95. We have the dollar's continuing to give up ground against the yen, currently 115.80, and sterling up to 193.17. So these are powerful moves in here today, and yesterday was a pretty good day as well. And Forex traders have been waiting, have been praying for this type of action. So they're going to after the long ranging period during which it was difficult to make money, they're going to love the fact that we're getting some clear evidence of trending action. And this is going to cause problems for governments, particularly on the continent of Europe. I would expect the bleating to begin almost, well, and probably right now that will occur. But it may not be that easy to reverse this current phase of U.S. dollar weakness, which is certainly not seen as a crisis at this stage. The U.S. will be welcoming it, I'm sure, although they're not allowed to actually say that. But it would be inconceivable to me that they were not relieved to see this softer dollar in here. And it may actually just cushion downside risk in the stock market a bit. It won't prevent Wall Street from having a correction, but people will work out the implications for consolidated earnings of international companies and say this is no bad thing. I think the greater pressure is on the European stock markets as their currencies appreciate against the U.S. dollar. In Asia, I don't think that the Asian markets will worry quite so much about the appreciation of their currencies because they're doing it from a fairly low base and they've got the much stronger growth rates overall. Now, if the dollar sell-off gets out of hand, then of course people would start to talk about crisis, and that would have a knock-on effect in markets. I mean, some of the obvious implications of that would be strength of precious metals. It would worry stock markets quite a bit. Bond markets, not so sure on that how it would play out for the government bond markets. Okay. And in the meantime, the practical reality, it'll take an upward dynamic by the dollar to check this current slide. I think, frankly, it would take some amazing jawboning from central banks to cause that to actually happen, because these currencies had been ranging for such a long period of time prior to these breakouts. But we will see. Now, precious metals. I mentioned yesterday in the audio that they were building up for a run in here, and all those patterns looked like consolidations, particularly for the gold price and the silver price. Now, we've had some real strength in here today. Gold up $7, more on up 10 on the futures contract, but $7 on spot gold, 638. So that's just pushed up out of its little trading range. And it's the dollar that's obviously helping here right now, but also oil price is up a bit. If the oil price starts to push up on this dollar weakness as well, as it well might, then that would really enable the precious metals, I think, to take off. Silver, a terrific day in here, currently trading after hours at 1366 and a half. Platinum, pretty steady. It's been winging all over the place on these rumors regarding a platinum ETF, which were strong as the move started, and then there was some other commentary saying that no, that wasn't going to happen, or not anytime soon. This is the sort of thing, but so it's bouncing around. But overall, the pattern has strengthened a lot in the last few weeks. Palladium quietly steady here, but it's the platinum and silver particularly that are attracting investors' attention right now, and that's hardly surprising because they have the ETFs. So this looks good to me. I've been saying that for quite a while, but oil will still be a huge influence here, and again, firmer oil, precious metals can run strongly on the upside. If oil goes back down, tests its lows again, let alone extends the decline a little bit, then that would be a heavy drag on a heavy restraint on the precious metal prices. Grains and beans, it just looks like classic consolidation. The stockpiles are way down, and there's some other soft commodities that are pretty strong as well. Well, an exciting week, some interesting changes. Again, I've written about all of these themes in Comment of the Day here, which is has already been posted. And it's just time for me now to draw this to a close and say have an absolutely spectacular weekend. It's been a profitable week for the people who have been participating in some of these commodity markets, and stock markets have had an awfully good run in recent months, haven't they? So we can be reasonably content with that, but remain vigilant and alert and receptive to opportunities. No doubt that the market will be presenting next week. Meanwhile, again, all the best.